When I was a kid, I was actually the seeds of being a news junkie was planted there. I think my grandfather actually planted it when he would babysit. He was glued to the 7 o'clock news. The news was the CBS evening news with Walter Cronkite.
From CBS News headquarters in New York, this is the CBS Evening News with Walter Cronkite.
And I remember a very important moment in my life anyway. It seemed that way at the time because I really wanted to play with my grandfather and he didn't want to. He wanted to watch the news. And he would watch the news at 6 o'clock with Jim Jensen. This was CBS, but that was the 1 hour broadcast at 6 o'clock till 7. And I would say at 7 o'clock, come on, Grandpa, let's play, let's play. And he'd go, no, now it's time to watch the CBS Evening News with Walter Cronkite. Eventually, that became a ritual at our household to watch the 7 o'clock news with Walter Cronkite. But I asked my grandfather, why? You just saw an hour's worth of news. Why can't you play with me? And he said, well, that's state and national news, and Walter Cronkite is international. That was like, whoa, wow. That was a heavy moment in my life. And by the way, that little audio was courtesy of YouTube. And I can't imagine, you know, back then, that was 1973, and Walter Cronkite was at one time the most trusted voice in the United States. So when he finally said enough is enough in Vietnam, the tide turned. Back then there were three major networks. Also there was PBS. Cable TV wasn't born yet. I can't imagine a journalist in the United States these days being uniformly trusted and respected the way Walter Cronkite was. But in Palestine, there was such a journalist. 51-year-old Palestinian-American, Jerusalemite, Shireen Abu Akleh. She was killed on May 11th, this past Wednesday. And the way that she was shot, where she was shot, seemingly would take the skill and the aim of a very well-trained sniper. She was doing her job reporting on an Israeli raid of the Jenin refugee camp. She was wearing her bright orange flak jacket with press written on it. She was wearing a helmet. The single bullet, according to Rayan Al-Ali, who's the director of the Forensic Medicine Institute at the Al-Najah University, who conducted the autopsy, said, quote, the bullet has caused a complete laceration of the brain and skull, unquote. Al Jazeera was her employee from essentially the beginning, 25 years ago. And Al Jazeera said in a statement, this is just part of it, quote, assassinated in cold blood, unquote. Israel, of course, first blamed Palestinians, but they have backtracked since then. And they say it needs to undergo an investigation. Israel has U.S. State Department buy-in on that and apparently congressional support for Israel to investigate what is likely its own crime. An American journalist, Ben Renault, was recently killed in Ukraine by Russian forces. Can you imagine for a second the U.S. government approving of Russia conducting an investigation into the killing? But Israel is always an exception. U.S. State Department spokesperson Ned Price called for a, quote, immediate and thorough investigation and full accountability, unquote. Can't argue with that. But when asked whether the United States would support an international investigation, Ned Price said, quote, Israel has the wherewithal to conduct a thorough investigation, unquote. Adam Schiff, chair of the House Intelligence Committee and co-chair of the Congressional Caucus for the Freedom of the Press, agrees with the State Department. Excerpting his statement, quote, "The Israeli military must conduct a thorough and objective investigation into Abba Akleh's death and be transparent about its findings," unquote. One member of the mainstream media is telling it like it is. He is MSNBC anchor Ayman Mohyeldin. And he put out a video tribute and also a really well-done written piece about Shireen Abu Akleh. She was a mentor to him. He was stationed in Jerusalem when she was, and they worked together. So they were longtime colleagues and also dear friends. Ayman doesn't think much of Israel investigating itself when it comes to killing Palestinians.
"Time and time again, we have seen the Israeli military operate with impunity in the occupied Palestinian territories. And it goes unchecked. No officers are held accountable, no justice is served. But as history has shown, there is rarely, if ever, any justice for the killing of Palestinians, whether they are American or not, quite frankly. And if history is any indicator, no one should expect Israel to carry out this investigation impartially. Nobody would take that seriously."
And those are the words of Ayman Mohyeldin, who is an anchor, a longtime anchor now at MSNBC, and I do think he came from Al Jazeera. Israel has a track record of shooting Palestinian journalists. This is nothing new, but Shireen is probably the most high profile that this kind of journalist killing has occurred. And what's different about this is that Shireen Abu Akleh was an American citizen. During the Great March of Return, there were protests along Gaza's perimeter in 2018. Israeli snipers killed and maimed several Palestinian journalists. A couple of weeks ago, the International Federation of Journalists, the Palestinian Journalist Syndicate, parenthetically PJS, and the International Center for Justice for Palestinians, they all combined to file legal submissions on behalf of four journalists, Ahmed Abu Hussein, Yasser Murtadha, Muad Amarneh, and Nedal Eshtayeh. These were journalists who were killed or maimed while covering the demonstrations in Gaza in 2018. The PJS said that at least 46 journalists have been killed in Palestine since the year 2000. The Committee to Protect Journalists has a different number. It says an estimated 19 journalists have been killed in Israel and the occupied Palestinian territories since 1992. Reporters Without Borders, which ranks Israel in the bottom half of its ranking for press freedom, 86 out of 180 countries, says, quote, "Palestinian journalists are systematically subjected to violence as a result of their coverage of events in the West Bank," unquote. A 2019 report by the UN Human Rights Council stated, quote, "The commission found reasonable grounds to believe that Israeli snipers shot journalists intentionally despite seeing that they were clearly marked as such during the 2018 protests along the border of the Gaza Strip and Israel. No Israeli journalists have been killed by Palestinians." In a video marking its 25th anniversary, the anniversary of Al Jazeera, Shireen Abu Akleh explained why she was a journalist. Quote, "The year 2002, when the West Bank witnessed an invasion not witnessed since the occupation in 1967, in the difficult moments, I overcame my fear because I chose journalism to be close to the people. Maybe it's not easy for me to change the reality, but I was at least able to deliver that sound to the world," unquote. She's been a fixture. I should say she had been a fixture in Palestinian homes as the voice and face for the Palestinian narrative since the time of the Second Intifada in 2002. And this is how Ayman Mohyeldin described his former colleague and very good friend.
She was gracious. She was hilarious. She was compassionate. Her humanity was unmatched and reflected in the people she covered and the stories that she told for nearly 25 years reporting on the front lines of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. And while she became a household name across the Arab-speaking world, she also became a role model for millions of young children who aspired to be journalists in one of the most fraught regions of the world to be a journalist.
A CNN producer, Abir Salman, said, quote, "One of the first female journalists that we, as Palestinians, watched on TV was Shireen Abu Akleh. Because the conflict we are living through, news is something we watch every day. It was on all day long in every home. I grew up watching Shireen almost every day on TV in my house. So when I heard about her dying, it felt like a member of my family I saw every day and was living with was lost. Although she was an icon as a Palestinian journalist, she was very simple, humble, and very funny. There is no journalist in this region who was not friends with Shireen. She was friends with everyone," unquote. He also goes on to say, "And I think we didn't know how much we loved her until she was shot and killed." Yet she was a threat to Israel. Anyone armed with a camera documenting Israeli human rights abuses is a threat. This quote from Israeli Army spokesperson Ran Kochav, speaking to Army Radio, is a quote for the ages. He's describing Abu Akleh as, quote, "filming and working for a media outlet amidst armed Palestinians. They're armed with cameras, if you'll permit me to say so," unquote. The Washington Post has an article linked at the Gaza Corner section of the playlist. It has testimonies from five eyewitnesses to her killing. They told the Post that fighting between Israelis and Palestinians had occurred hundreds of yards from where the journalists were located and had ended well before the shootings occurred. Ali Al-Samoudi, a veteran journalist who also works for the Jerusalem-based newspaper Al-Quds, said that he and Abu Akleh had been standing several hundred meters from the house where Israeli soldiers had been carrying out an attempted arrest. They were alone with four or five other Palestinian journalists, all wearing protective gear and marking them as press and wearing helmets. They were near Israeli military vehicles, and they moved slowly to make sure the soldiers could see they were journalists. Ali Al-Samoudi described that he suddenly heard a single shot that whizzed by. Quote, "We were going to film the Israeli army raid, and suddenly they shot us without asking us to leave or stop filming," unquote. He said he turned and ran and was immediately hit in the upper left of his back. Quote, "I heard Shireen scream, 'Ali has been shot, Ali has been shot.' Then they shot Shireen. There were no fighters where we were, none at all. We don't put ourselves in the line of fire. Whatever the Israeli army says for us to do, we do. They shot us directly and deliberately," unquote. I should add that journalist Ali Al-Samoudi is now in stable condition, according to a report from Al Jazeera. Another journalist, Shatha Khanisha, said the group stood in an open area, quote, "for about 10 minutes to make sure the Israeli army can identify us as journalists. At the shots, everyone ran toward a wall, but Shireen and I were not able to climb it. Shireen was screaming, 'Ali is shot!' Then she fell. I tried to help her up, but I couldn't. She was shot," unquote, as she pointed at her neck. Israel wants to silence the Palestinian narrative, and therefore Palestinian journalists are targets. Shireen Abu Akleh was such an icon for the Palestinian people that even in death, she remained a threat. Journalist and author Ben White tweeted on May 13th, 2 days after she was killed, quote, "On Wednesday, Israeli occupation forces killed Shireen Abu Akleh. Then Israeli forces raided her family home to take down a Palestinian flag. Today, May 13th, Israeli forces have attacked mourners at her funeral in Jerusalem," unquote. Dr. Hanan Ashrari, longtime Palestinian activist, scholar, she was the first woman to serve in the leadership of the PLO, one of the most respected Palestinians worldwide, tweeted, quote, "The sheer obscenity of the Israeli forces storming a hospital, beating up the mourners, and preventing them from carrying Shireen's coffin to her final resting place is horrendous. Now they're surrounding the hearse, having separated it from the mourners, who themselves are besieged." And in a second tweet, she said, "Savage Israeli special forces viciously attacked the funeral procession bearing the coffin of Shireen Abu Akleh, leaving St. Joseph's Hospital trying to reach the Greek Catholic Church in Jerusalem. The inhumanity of Israel on full display," unquote. Israel knew that Abu Akleh's funeral procession would be attended by thousands of Palestinians and Palestinian nationalism would be on full display. Israel would have none of that. Ayman Moyuddin reported, quote, "They did not want a public procession. They did not want mourners to wave Palestinian flags or partake in any Palestinian chants. Let that sink in. A nuclear-armed power with one of the world's most powerful militaries feared a flag-draped coffin. Israeli police wanted to deny Abu Akleh's family and the public from publicly grieving the national icon and journalistic hero because they didn't want her funeral to serve as a reminder of the national cause for liberation, dignity, and independence. Video shows police attacking mourners and pallbearers." You can see a photo at the Gaza Corner section of the Tangents playlist at tangents.com. Again, he says, "Video shows police attacking mourners and pallbearers, beating them with batons, and at one point almost causing pallbearers to drop the coffin. This is what a dehumanizing occupation looks like. It deprives Palestinians even of their right to mourn, their right to express grief in whatever way brings them comfort and closure. This is what it means to be oppressed, to have one's cultural expressions subject to the state's approval, and to be subject to violence from the state for breaking those rules. This is what it means to be mastered, to be subjugated, to be silenced by a state that shows its force with bullets, batons, bulldozers, and bombs. As we watched the horrific scenes during her funeral today, we're reminded that even when mourning their dead, Palestinians can't be Palestinian," unquote. The words of MSNBC anchor Ayman Moyuddin, former colleague and dear friend of Shireen Abu Akleh, who was killed at the age of 51 years old. There's a video at the Gaza Corner section of the playlist. It's a very short video, but very, very powerful. And also a link to his written piece as well. The fact that Israeli security committed this barbarity in full view of the world indicates just how confident Israel is that there will be no global consequences to its continued assault on Palestinian rights.